Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, each and every one who are joining in with us this evening. We thank God and we bless God for each and every one of you. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to Bible Study for Life. I am your host, Pastor Toy or Tyleen Daly, and I will be your host for the next hour as we dive into God's Word. I am just so excited about what God is going to do and what He is doing, not just in my life, but in the life of saints all around me. I just thank and bless God for the move of God. Hallelujah, God. If you are listening in via the live stream, we invite you to call in if you would like to talk with us live on the air at 319-527-6091. As we dive into God's Word, we talk this evening about a pool, five porches, and a sheep gate. Amen. A pool, five porches, and a sheep gate. Hallelujah, God. So before we go into the Word, you know what I'm going to say. Grab a pencil, a pen, a marker, a crown, whatever you can get your hands on the quickest. Something to write with and something to write on, but most importantly, grab your Bible, God's love story to man and God's basic instructions before leaving the earth, the Bible, so that we can get ready to dive into God's Word. I ask you to send a text message out to family and friends and let them know that we are broadcasting live now. Again, it is time to dive into God's Word. We will be coming to you today, this evening, from the book of John, the fifth chapter. And we just want you to get comfortable and let's be ready to go in before the presence of God. Amen. So we are going to start with reading the Bible verses first, coming from the Word of God. And right after that, we are going to have a word of prayer. And following that word of prayer, we are going to go directly into the Word of God. Amen. So again, we are coming from the book of John. Amen. The book of John, and we are going to be reading the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of the book of John, and we're going to begin reading at the first verse. Amen. So again, that's John chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at the first verse, and I will be reading from the King James Version. It says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk.
And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The 10th verse says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. The Jews said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. But Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Amen. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. We've just read John chapter 5, verses 1 through 18, and we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. So we're going to go into a word of prayer, and then we will be diving into God's word. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Father. I bless you, I praise you, I glorify and I magnify your holy name, Father God. We come before you this evening, Father God, as a collective group ready to study and meditate on the word of God. For you said to us in your word that we should meditate on it day and night. However, before we do so, we come to you as bad children before a good parent. Come repenting of any sins we may have committed, whether they be through thought, deed, or action, knowingly or unknowingly. Sins of omission as well as sins of commission, Father God. We ask that you not only forgive us, but that you cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness, that they not rise up against us in that day of judgment. Then, Father God, we come just blessing and praising your name. Hallelujah, God. For you and you alone are worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah, Father. We count it an honor and a blessing to be in your presence. Hallelujah. We ask that the Shekinah glory fall afresh this evening in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We ask that shackles of bondage be released in the name of Jesus, Father God. We ask that healing takes place this evening, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We ask that provisions are met this evening, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know what your people may be in the need of, but I know that you are a need maker. Hallelujah, God, a need fulfiller, a need provider. Hallelujah, God. So we ask that you meet the needs of your people wherever they may be this evening, Father God, listening into this word. We ask that a fresh anointing fall afresh, hallelujah, God, upon your people this evening, Father God. We ask that your Holy Spirit saturate these airways to such a place, Father God, that you are able to hold the enemy at bay, that some lost soul may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and some backslidden soul may come back into right relationship. Hallelujah, Father God. And then, Lord, I ask for myself as I
stand behind the altar of God, that you will decrease me and increase yourself in me in the mighty name of Jesus, that you bring this word forth as you would have this word go forth in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. Again, the number to call in if you would like to join in with our Bible study this evening live on the air is 319-527-6091. Amen. Now, we're going to dive right into God's word. Again, we are in the book of John in chapter 5. Now, this particular chapter starts by letting us know that Jesus was in Jerusalem for the feast. Now, the fact that it starts stating that Jesus was there for a feast was one of the first things that was peculiar unto me. And let me tell you that what I noticed with this and why it was so peculiar, because whenever John speaks of Jesus in different feasts that Jesus celebrated, he already always names which particular feast Jesus is celebrating. Amen. Yet he did not do that here, and it made me wonder why. And what God revealed to me was that Jesus wasn't really in Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jerusalem for that particular feast. The feast that had him there on outward appearance at first glance, because he was of Jewish descent, it would appear that that is why he was in Jerusalem, because it was time for one of the annual and holy feasts of God. Yet there was so much more going on in play here. And I'm going to say it like I said it a few weeks back, maybe about a month ago. The Lord had me bring this sermon at my home sanctuary when Pastor allowed me to bless the church with a word from the Lord. And what he revealed to me is, if you think about it, there are a lot of times that we find ourselves in situations or in locations, and we think we went for one thing, but we actually went for something else. Amen. I'm going to share something that just happened with me recently. Unfortunately, one of my daughters is in the midst of a child custody battle for her son. And in the midst of this, we had gotten paperwork that said we had to be in court on a Tuesday, but we didn't get that paperwork until late Monday evening. And when we had gotten that paperwork, amen, there was not enough time to contact her lawyer. There was not enough time to do anything except call into our jobs and say, hey, we got to be in court first thing in the morning. We just got this summons. And I'm not going to lie, when I was there, I was upset. I could not understand, number one, we had just been there not long before that, and the judge had made it clear when she would speak to the two of them again. So I could not understand why God had me sitting down here at this courtroom. Anyway, as we were sitting there and waiting, there was a woman who had walked in, and she was there handling a domestic situation. And when I seen her walk past me, her spirit and my spirit sort of saw and connected one to the other. And later on, as we had sat there for a few hours, every time she would pass me, the Lord would begin to speaking to me. And that some point I had to go to the restroom, and I went into the restroom, and I actually went in there to pray because I was getting anxious about everything that was going on around me. And I said, God, I don't have a closet to go into here. All I have is this public bathroom in that stall. So I'm going to go in there, and we're going to do what we do. And when I come out of here, you're going to have a way of making this thing make sense to me in some way, shape, or form. And I went into the bathroom and began to pray. And as I came out, the lady that spirit that were mine was coming in. And I looked at her, and she was ready to bust into tears. And the Lord told me to speak to her, and I spoke to her with simple words. We're going to be okay. Everything that we are going through, we are going to be okay. And she looked up at me and she said, thank you. And God said, hug her. And when I hugged her, she broke in my arms and began to cry. And I ministered to the woman that day. The Lord used me that day in the public bathroom. Now, mind you, when I did not know this woman, I had never met her before, and even telling this testimony this evening, I could not tell you her name, where she was from, what situation took place that had her there. I could just tell you that the Lord ministered to her in that bathroom. And when I came out of the bathroom, not only was the reason that we were there clear to me, that we weren't really down there because of whatever was going on or that we thought was going on, but God used that summons to get me there so that I would go into that bathroom to be used by him to be a blessing to that particular woman. And the funny part and proof of it was that when I came out of the bathroom, my daughter met me and said, all right, Mom, we all done. We can go. I'm saying that to say God will place you in situations that will have you sometimes looking frustrated, that will have you trying to figure out not only why you're there, but how you even got there. And if you would stop just long enough to talk to the Father about what he is doing, willing to be obedient to that which he tells you, you can find out that a lot of times you didn't go for the reason you thought you went. Amen? And that's what we find out going on here in the fifth chapter of John. And scriptural proof that Jesus was not just there for the feast, we can find as we go into the next verse. Amen. And the second verse, it says, it stops talking about the feast and it begins to talk about a pool and the sheep gate, or some scripture says the sheep market. And it said that the pool had five porches. Now let's stop here. Again, we just clarified that although Jesus was in Jerusalem, it was not really about the feast. That's why the feast isn't listed. But what is listed is the sheep gate or sheep market, a pool, and it's surrounded by five porches. Now, this is the second thing that I noticed in this scripture that was very peculiar to me, that the scripture states that the pool is by the sheep gate and that it has five porches around it. Now, as I said, then I'm going to say again this evening, let me explain why I say these things are peculiar. I don't mean peculiar like there's something wrong with it. I don't mean peculiar like there's peculiar, like it was strange. It was something that made me take notice. If we read in the book of Exodus, when Moses and God first begin to talk one to another, Moses first notices a burning bush. And the scripture says that he found it peculiar. It made him stop and pay attention because this bush was burning, but it was not being consumed by the flame. That was a peculiar thing because if something's on fire, it's supposed to burn up. Yet this bush was on fire and not burning up. Well, the word of God about how God has found favor in his children and he has given to some of us the keys to the mystery of the kingdom of God. And the reason we sometimes miss those keys is because we don't stop and pay attention to those peculiar things that we find in the scriptures. We tend to read God's word and we brush across details and numbers and descriptions, and we think of it as not being that important, but what we have to realize is that every word, every number, every letter, every stitch of what we find in God's word is there for a reason and a purpose. And if we take the time to look at that burning bush or to go over to that which we find peculiar and get into deep conversation and study of God's word, we will not only find the key to a mystery or a hidden key to the mystery, but we will find the hidden keys to the application of God's word that helps us not just hide it in our heart, but apply it in our lives. Amen. So let's look at this pool with five porches that is near a sheep gate or a sheep market. And we're going to start by talking about the sheep gate or the sheep market. And before I go there, I want to say again that you are listening to Bible Study for Life here on Purpose Kingdom Network. You can call in if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make at 319-527-6091. Amen. Press 1 and the engineer will let me know that you are waiting to speak on the air. So again, I'm saying that now so I don't have to stop once we dive into this. Amen. So let's look at first this sheep gate or sheep market. The first thing I want you to understand is when it talks about this sheep gate or sheep market, it is a representation of the church. I'm not talking about the building that we go into to worship. I'm talking about the people that go into that building, us, the body of Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 10 and 27, we are the sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. Hallelujah, God. It's funny because often I hear people get into arguments and debates and sometimes get offended when non-believers refer to believers in Jesus Christ, sheep. And we, oh, I'm not a sheep. I'm not a sheep. But you are a sheep because you know his voice. And we follow him. It's okay to be a sheep of the Lord, hallelujah, God, because number one, a sheep of the Lord is a creature that is well taken care of, hallelujah. Psalms 23 and 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Then the rest of that psalm tells us how he takes care of us, how he leads us, how he guides us, amen. Hallelujah, God. It says how he feeds us and makes us rest. Hallelujah. How he protects us, what follows us, and where we live. It's the sheep gate or the sheep market, the church, the body of Christ. Now, someone might go, okay, well, that's a sheep gate, and I can accept the sheep gate part, but you said we can also be referred to the sheep market as the church. Well, this is true, and I'm going to explain that right here. A market, when you look up the definition of what a market is, it is where you go to exchange goods, to purchase that which you need. It's a place where people gather regularly to exchange commodities. Now, for those of you who may not understand what a commodity is a raw material, primarily agricultural products that can be bought and sold. And there are four major categories of commodities that all things are typically sorted into. They are metal, energy, livestock, and meat and agriculture. So it's livestock and meat and agricultural. So I'm going to say those again. Metal, energy, livestock and meat, and agricultural. And here's a nugget that you may not know. As humans, we fall into all of these categories, thus making us commodities. You don't believe me? Let's look into God's word. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, Genesis 2 and 7. For you are dust, and dust you shall return, Genesis 3:19. So we are agricultural. We were created out of the dust of the earth. Amen. The next commodity is livestock and meat. The word of God says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalms 100, verse 3. And the fact that it says we are the sheep, that makes us livestock. Amen. And then if you look down in Genesis 3 and 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Amen. So that's talking about the livestock and the meat. Now, what I want you to understand is you are one of the other. You are either livestock of God or meat for the devil, for his demons, for Lucifer. If you are not saved, you are what he eats off of. We are made, we just sit in an agricultural, from the dust of the earth. When God cursed Lucifer for what he did in the garden, we all go, oh, well, that's when he made snakes slither on the ground. That's not what he's talking about. When he cursed Lucifer and said, you will eat from the dust of the earth, he was talking about his desire to devour mankind. Amen. For it is God, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I like the way the Message version reads it. It says that energy is God's energy, and energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. And both of those was Philippians 2 and 13. And what we're moving on to is energy. Remember, we said the commodities are metal, energy, livestock and meat, and agricultural. We covered agricultural, we covered livestock and meat, and we just covered energy. And if it's not God's energy working within you, then again, it is that of Lucifer. But either way, we are created of energy. Hallelujah, God. Here's another proof that you, and it's scientific, that you can see that you are made up of energy. Slide your feet with some socks across the rug for a few minutes, then go touch something metal and see if you can't create a spark. You can only create a spark when energy connects with energy. Amen. Now we're going to metals. Now, for metals, this isn't scripture. This is scientific. However, it can be proven. If you look at the buildup of a human, in our blood, we have iron. Iron is a metal. We have magnesium in our muscular cells. Magnesium is a metal. We have calcium in our bones and zinc in our immune system. And again, everything I just named is a metal that is in our bodies, thus making us metal. So again, I say, we as humans are a commodity. So whether your scripture calls it a sheep gate, which we earlier discussed, or a sheep market, which we just discussed, you now have the connection of it. Hallelujah, God. And this is the part that I love the best. A market, when we talk about it, it said it was a place. Hallelujah. Where people gathered regularly, where they could purchase or exchange for that which they need. Hallelujah, God. Now, when you look at the church building, the worship hall, wherever you gather together corporately to worship at, this is the place, hallelujah, where we gather to exchange and get that which we need from the Father. Hallelujah, God. Some of us are bringing in drama and we're looking to exchange it for peace. Some of us are stuck in bondage and we're looking to exchange the chains of bondage for freedom. Hallelujah, God. Some of us are dealing in sickness and ailments, but we're looking to exchange it for healing. Hallelujah, God. Some of us are stuck in grief, and we're looking to exchange it for comfort from God. Hallelujah, God. So we gather corporately together at the church building or the sheep gate, the sheep market, where we make these exchanges of purchase. But the blessing of the exchange of this purpose is that the price for all that which we need, Jesus paid for us all. Hallelujah, God. The price of what we have to get has already been paid for us. And if you don't believe me, look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. We were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus. And because he paid the price for us, we as believers can now gather at the spiritual marketplace. Hallelujah. And we can get all of what we need. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. We give him our lives. He gives us a more abundant life. Hallelujah, God. We give him our souls, and he gives us a cross. Hallelujah, God. When we give him our testimony, he gives us encouragement. When we give him our thoughts, he gives us a new mind. Hallelujah, God. He gives us a more abundant life. He gives us a new perspective. Hallelujah, God. And we thank and praise God. Thank you, Lord. Why do you think that he was crucified on Golgotha's hill? Amen. Golgotha's hill actually means the place of skull. That's because the first battle mind is in your thoughts. That's why it's in our mind. That's why we have to give him our thoughts. We have to give him our mind. We have to turn our control over to his will. And when we do, oh, hallelujah, God, the blessings that take place. However, we continue in the scripture. There was something about the sheep market and sheep gate. It says that right next to this sheep gate or sheep market, there was a pool called Bethesda. Now, what makes this pool so special is not just its location, surroundings, and the history. And again, just like that Sunday, because we are about to run out of time, I can't go into all of it. But if you look up, just look up in Wikipedia, the Pool of Bethesda, and you will find the astounding history around that pool and the location and what it actually represents. But what I will say is that this pool, which went from being used as something holy, it was used as a purification bath before going into the temple. It became something that no one wanted to go around. Amen. It became a place that the people of the church would dare not go near because of the people that hung around it. Remember, there were some porches around the pool. So what we find is that this pool, which used to be something that was holy and had purpose, had turned into something that really had no real purpose unless you were sitting waiting for the troubling of the water that took place in this pool. Yet the scripture says this pool was right by the church, the sheep gate or sheep market. And everything that was going on with this pool, we find it that it had become obsolete. Hallelujah, God. Some of us out there today feel like this pool. We feel like we have spiritually become obsolete. We feel like we used to be holy and have purpose, but we don't have purpose anymore. We don't feel like there's a need for that which God has called us to do because of what it looks like around us. Hallelujah, God. And we're going to get to that in the scenario. We're going to get to that right now in obedience. Some of us have become like that pool. We feel like that we used to be able to be used by God, but our surroundings makes us feel like we can only be used once a week when the Holy Spirit reigns wherever we gather corporately. But as Jesus is about to show the man at this pool, when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah, God, you don't have to wait for the corporate gathering to feel the Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know something that this man at the pool was about to find out, we know that we have adequate acceptance into the holy of holies. Hallelujah, God. We don't have to go through the ritual cleanings. We don't have to go through that, what we used to go through. But just like everyone thought about this pool, they thought that they couldn't go near this pool because of the people around the pool. People think they can't come near you because of the people around you. You even sit there going, oh, I might need to cut some folk off. But the truth of the matter is you are the only walking Bible that these people may know and or see. Hallelujah, God. That's why as believers in Christ, we must be careful of our walk. We must be careful of our talk. We must be careful of that which we say. Hallelujah, God. Then we can't be like the people at the sheep gate who wouldn't go near the pool because of the people that was hanging around this pool. Now, it's funny because the name of this pool is Bethesda, which means house of grace. And it has five porches that the people who caused the church or, you know, the sheep gate folk, the sheep market folk, the Sadducees and Pharisees of that day not to come around resided in this place. Hallelujah, God. So now, why do I say that it's important we know that Bethesda means house of grace? Because grace has a twin. And if you ever see grace, you're not going to see grace without seeing the twin. If you ever see the twin, you're not going to see the twin without seeing grace. Hallelujah, God. And for those who may not know, the twin's name is Mercy. And when Jesus shows up at the pool, Mercy appeared right there in the presence of grace. Hallelujah, God. Somebody going to catch that in a minute. Five, again, is God's number for grace. If we go back to Calvary, over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, that was mercy. Jesus was taking that which belonged to us. He was taking on the punishment that man had brought. Hallelujah, God. Mercy is when God does not give us that which we deserve to receive. Amen. Jesus should not have had to die on that cross. It was our punishment. Jesus had not sinned. Mankind had sinned. Hallelujah. But God loved his creation so much that way back in eternity past, he had come up with a plan for the fall of mankind. And in the fullness of time, Jesus turned to God. The word turned to that which it spoke out of and said, give unto me that body which you have prepared for me. And he came down and as mercy hung on the cross. But if you read the crucifixion story, you will find that there next to mercy hanging on the cross were five bystanders. It was Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, Jesus's aunt. It was Mary Magdalene, and it was John, and I forget the name of the fifth person, but it was five people standing at the cross. You can read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John when they get to the crucifixion sections of their testimonies and of their writings. There were five people. So while Mercy was dying, Grace was looking on. Somebody needs to get that. That's a shouting point right there. While Jesus was dying on the cross for us, Grace was looking on. While Mercy was dying, taking what belonged to us, Grace was hiding us. Hallelujah, God. While Mercy was dying, taking the death that belonged to us, Grace was shielding us. Hallelujah, God. Because all five of those who had represented Grace had at some point in their lives committed sin. Yet they were there representing the grace of God that was being bestowed upon mankind as the mercy of God hung and died on Golgotha's hill. Hallelujah, God. So now we find that there are people that are living under these five porches around this pool that's right next to the church or the sheep gate or the sheep market. Hallelujah. So what I got out of this was that there are people that we consider to be unclean because they're wilted, halted, damaged. They've gone through some things in life. They're still going through some things in life. So we won't go near them, but the Christ, hallelujah, Christ loved us so much that he goes right up to them. Hallelujah, God. And when he gets to this place, he sees this man who had been there for 38 years. Hallelujah. And he said to this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I need you to understand that Jesus didn't ask him, would he be healed? He said, will you be made whole? And there's a difference between being healed and being made whole. See, a person can recover from a sickness. They've been healed. But then their bodies may still be drained. They may still be tired. Depending on what they went through, they may have some type of traumatic experience that has caused them to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. So they're suffering from PTSD by it. They're healed, but they haven't been made whole. Hallelujah, God. But Jesus, when he comes in, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man did what so many of us do so often in life. He begun to give excuses on why he was in that situation. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying to somebody tonight, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Whole, and you sitting down running down the list of why you can't be made whole, and the person who can give you your wholeness is standing there saying, I know all that. I've been watching you. I've seen the people step over you. I've seen the people act like you were of no importance. I've seen the people say that you would never amount to anything. I've seen the people lie on you. I've seen the people talk about you. I've seen the people turn their backs on you. I've seen everything that they've done to you. But today I'm saying to you that in spite of everything they've done to you, will you be made whole? Hallelujah, God. That takes me back to the 23rd Psalm, where the word of God says in the 23rd Psalm, not only will he anoint my head with oil, but he will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All those people that had stepped over this man for years, all these people that acted like that man didn't exist, but it was in the presence of all of them that God made him whole. Hallelujah, God. And we're going to jump on ahead. And as the man gave all his excuses, the Lord said to him, message version says it, do you want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? And then this is the amazing thing. Jesus didn't perform no big act right there. He didn't say any loud, fancy prayer. He just looked at him. He didn't say, you're whole, so take up your bed and walk. He said to him before he pronounced that he was whole, he said, take up your bed. Stand up. Rise up, depending on your version. Take up your bed, mat, bedroll, depending on your version, and walk. Now, this is the amazing thing, but the thing I love about God, remember he said earlier when we were reading the scripture, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. This man had been stuck down there for 38 years, and y'all know it's another place I want to go with this, but time is not permitting it. And with that 38 years, when Jesus said, rise up, what did the man do? He didn't say, well, I don't have the muscle strength in my leg. I can't make myself stand up. He stood up. Why? Because God told him to stand up. He didn't get cured and then stand up. He stood up in his sickness. He had to believe that which God had told them would take place, could take place. Hallelujah, God. Why is that important? It's like something I heard earlier today. Some of us are waiting to get out of a situation to feel like God has delivered us. But what you need to understand is your deliverance comes in the situation. Hallelujah, God. When Paul and Silas was locked in jail, the scripture tells us that they began to sing praises unto the Lord. And then at about midnight, the first thing that happened was their shackles had fallen off. Their shackles had fallen off inside the prison before the doors opened to release them from the prison. Hallelujah, God. Some of us got to understand that it's in the midst of what we're in that God is going to deliver us and then bring us out. Hallelujah. The deliverance for the children of Israel, we like to believe that, their deliverance came when they left out of Egypt. No, their deliverance came when Jesus said, put the mark of the lamb, the mark of the blood of the lamb on your mantle and on your doorpost, and I'm going to come through this evening and kill the firstborn of all the Egyptian children. Hallelujah, God. And in him saying that, that was when their deliverance came through. It was in that morning that the Pharaoh released them, but it was that evening that they were actually, hallelujah, God, delivered. Somebody needs to know tonight, hallelujah, I know it don't look like you've come out or that you can come out of that which you're in. I know you might feel like the church has turned their back on you. I know you may feel like holy people have said, oh, she ain't going to be or he ain't going to be. But I'm here to tell you today that God is saying, will thou be made whole? And that you can be made whole in and where you are, even right now. You can stop wherever you are. The word of God said, come to me just as you are. Now, you like to hear church folk, they argue that point. Oh, I can wear this to church because God said, come just as I am. And I can wear that to church because God said, come just as I am. And I can do because God said, come just as I am. What I need you to understand is when God said, come just as I am, he wasn't talking about what you wore into the sanctuary. He was telling you to come to him just as you are right now, this second, this evening. He don't care if you got the bottle turned up. You can come to him tonight, and he will make you put the bottle down. He don't care what kind of drugs you about to shoot up. You can come to him tonight, and he can make you put it down. Hallelujah, God. He doesn't care what confusion is going on in your mind, what healing you may need to take place. God is calling out to you this evening through Jesus Christ, saying, will thou be made whole? And unfortunately, as many different ways as we try to get around it, there's only one way to be made whole, and that is through Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah, God. And this is your opportunity to accept him into your life. So many times, you know, thank you, Lord, when you get a house or an apartment, and this is an analogy you've heard me say before, your house is set up to have electricity run through it. However, until you call the electric company and have them turn on the power that will release that connection of electricity into your home, although you are set up to receive that power, you won't receive the power. Hallelujah. That's what God is somebody this evening. You are trying to receive power from on high without calling the electric company, the spiritual electric company, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. Here in Philly, we got Pico. In the spiritual realm, we got Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So you're sitting there, and what's happening is you're trying to plug the wrong type of plug into the wrong type of socket, and you're getting whiteouts and brownouts and blackouts and shortages and electrical fires, when all you have to do is call to the company and say, hey, I need electric here. I'm moving into such and such an address street, and I'm looking for electricity. If you're doing it spiritually, all you got to do is call up and say, Jesus, I'm moving into the heavenly kingdom. You already know the house you have prepared for me, and I'm asking you to turn on the electricity. Hallelujah, God. And the way you do that is by repeating this prayer with me. It's not a hard prayer. It's not a difficult prayer. It's just believing God for who he is, trusting God for who he says he is and what he has proven, hallelujah, that he is, hallelujah. No matter where you are listening to us across the world this evening, this is your opportunity, hallelujah, to come into personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, somebody's saying, why must it be Jesus? Because that's what God set up. The word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? His only son, his only begotten son. And what did he give him for? So that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but can have everlasting life. Hallelujah, God. So you can have God. All you have to do is believe. It says, whosoever believeth, hallelujah, God, in him shall not perish, but can have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then the other scripture that I wanted to give you is Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that means if you shall speak it, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But you know me, there was a whole lot of thou, thithers, and that. So we're going to read it again from the Message version. And what it says is, the word that say that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work in things right for us. It's the word that you are about to speak right now in faith that makes God begin to start working in you, just like it made him start working in me. And the part I love about the work of God, that it shall not come back. God shall not leave you until it is completed, and that which God has spoken over you and in you shall not come back unto him void. Hallelujah, God. So you just say this simple prayer, Father God, I come to you receiving the gift of your son Jesus into my life, agreeing that I am a sinner in need of saving, desiring to be your livestock instead of Satan's meat. Hallelujah, God. Desiring to be filled with your energy instead of that of Lucifer and his demons. Hallelujah, God. So I ask Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, and I ask him to begin to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And once you say that prayer according to God's word, you are saved. And we welcome you to the kingdom of God. At this time, we are going to have Brother Robert come on, who is going to give you some information on how you can follow us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, as well as how you can contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Brother Rob?
Yes, yes. Oh, man. I thought I was full tonight, but you know what? I guess I have room for some more spiritual food. It's a spiritual knowledge, and I thank you so much for tonight's show tonight, and I thank you so much for just enlightening us and just giving us that spiritual knowledge. Real quickly, I'll go ahead and see the announcements. This is a part of the Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's show, no matter what you're joining us via online or you're listening to us on the phone. We thank you so much, and we really appreciate your listenership and your support. We really thank those that share and let their family members know that Purpose Kingdom Network is on the air tonight. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime we do a live broadcast, you can call in at 319-527-6091, and you can press the number 1, and we'll get you into the queue. And just to let you know that Purpose Kingdom Network has its own radio network at pkn.com. So you can go ahead and listen to us there. We have 24 hours of musical content, and from time to time we do rebroadcast one of our shows like this one tonight. We're also on radiocode.com, and anywhere that podcasts are broadcasted, you can just simply type in Purpose Kingdom, and you won't miss an episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And we are also on Facebook Live at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And anytime that you want to hear any of our past or past shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And you can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. Also, if you want to correspond with us via email, you can email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or just give us a praise report. We are happy to hear from you at any time, and we thank you so much. And with that being said, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening. And I do believe that we have Judah fired. If I'm wrong, we will go ahead and make the corrections, or you can just go to any of our various media pages, and you'll see where the corrections will be made as far as the correct show that we'll be on. But with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for our program show. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and I'm going to turn the show back over to Pastor Toy.
Amen. Hallelujah. We bless and praise God for those announcements. Tomorrow is actually the fourth Monday. So on the fourth Monday, we will have Reverend Dr. Eileen Maddox with For Real Ministry. Amen. So tomorrow evening, we have Reverend Dr. Eileen Maddox with For Real Ministry. Now, if you find yourself in the Coatesville area, I would like to invite you to my church home, where my pastor is a Pastor Montez O. Jones, and Judah Ministry Church of God in Christ is located at 840 East Chestnut Street in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. If you're in the Philadelphia area, I always like to encourage people, if you need are looking for a place to go and worship or looking for a church home, check out Deliverance Baptist Church located at 22nd and Lehigh. And if there are any other churches that somebody that's listening in may know of or that you know is teaching and preaching the word of God, give us whether you send it to our webpage or you DM us on one of our social media pages, give us the name of that church and the address, and we would gladly shepherd people in that direction, because the whole goal is to save souls, and not just save souls, but to save souls and to help souls grow spiritually in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to thank each and every one of you who joined in with us this evening. I'm sorry that we were not able to dive completely into it the way that I was feeling it in my spirit. We may visit this topic again at a later date. We're just going to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. Also, stay tuned to us, because I believe God is going to be starting a Sunday school here soon on Sunday morning. So stay in, hang in, and follow what's going on here at Purpose Kingdom Network. There are a plethora of shows in different hosts that you can log in to listen to in our archive. So, again, we just thank and bless God for the word that has gone out this evening. We thank and bless God for each and every one of you who listened in, wherever you listened in at around the world. Hallelujah, God. We pray God's blessings over you. We are still continuing to pray for those who are going through, living in war-torn countries. Although Ukraine is the one that we are calling out by name, we know that there are so many other countries that are going through so much all around the world. And I ask you just to join in with me in praying for peace and safety, especially for our fellow believers in Christ, for our for the other parts of our body of Christ. Amen. And we just, again, thank and praise God for each and every one of you. Father God, we thank you for the move of God that took place this evening. We thank you for the work that your word is doing and is going to do, Father God. No matter when or where people listen, Father God, we believe that souls will be saved, that hearts will be changed, and minds will be renewed. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we thank you for this word that has gone forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I love you all with the love of Christ. Good night, and God bless you.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.